Good morning, church. For those of you who are visiting with us today, we have been going through a series entitled Running the Christian Race. And I had to put this picture up here. This was actually posted on our church Facebook page, and this is one of our small groups. And I love this picture because these ladies have really gotten into this series. And they're really taking it serious. They look like they're ready to go. They're ready to take off and run this race. And I hope that this is something that has really encouraged you guys, have really gotten into this series as well. I hope that you guys, because really, as we get into God's Word, as we study the New Testament, and we look at what it takes to be a follower of Jesus, we begin to see. I mean, the New Testament really begins to give this image of, well, a Christian being like someone who is actually running a race. In fact, this morning, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ran a race? I think I've asked this already in this series. We have several who have run a race. Let me ask you this. For those of you who have ran a race, how many of you would say that at some point in that race, you got tired? Okay, just about all of you have. This week, I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman who has ran several marathons. And he told me, he said, for me, it was mile number 17. He said, if a marathon would stop at 17 miles, he said, I would be gold. He said, I would do absolutely amazing. But he said, every time I would get to mile 17, he said, I would start getting tired and I would start losing a lot of my momentum. You know, the Christian race can also be very, very exhausting. That's why the scriptures are filled with words like endure, continue, persevere. Because you see, really, this is the best running advice. And it's so simple. To run a good race, you have to do what, church? You just have to keep running. And this is especially true in the Christian race. To run a good race, you just got to keep running. And, well, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is going to be our text for today. This is what the Hebrew writer is trying to get across. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not, why, church? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, really, this is the whole purpose of what we just read. So that you and I will not grow weary spiritually and lose heart. Because here's the deal, write this down. It's easier to wear the name of Jesus than it is to follow Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, it's very easy to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but let me tell you something, it's another thing to live that out. Sometimes it can be extremely hard. In fact, nowhere in Scripture do we ever read about it being easy. Right? Nowhere in Scripture are we told, listen, there aren't going to be any hills in this race. Nowhere in Scripture are we told, listen, there's not going to be any injuries in this race. No, one of the things that we see as we search the Scriptures is the race that we're in as Christians is long and it is hard. And let me tell you something, it is inevitable that as we run the Christian race, there are going to be times when we get discouraged. And really, that's what we see in the book of Hebrews. You had a group of Christians who, man, they had a good start. But they weren't finishing well. In fact, some of them were making the decision to drop out of the race. And the Hebrew writer is trying to encourage them, even though you're tired, even though you're discouraged, keep on running. How many of you know someone, maybe family, maybe friend, maybe it was someone who got you into the race. How many of you know someone who has dropped out of the race? We all get weary. We all get discouraged. And let me tell you something. It's during those times that our spiritual enemy wants us to drop out. He wants us to get off course. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, the Hebrew writer goes on to say, listen, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. In other words, what the Hebrew writer is saying is don't quit. I know you're tired. I know you're discouraged, but don't quit. You got to hold on. Because here's the deal, God is much more concerned with how we finish the race and how we start it. And so He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, He says, let us run with what, church? With perseverance, the race that is marked out. Now, those first two words are very, very important. Let us. Because what that tells us is this. We're not running alone. And let me tell you something. That is really good news in this race. Last week, we talked about how God is with us. He's running with us. But this week, I want to add to that by saying, listen, your brothers and sisters in Christ are running with you as well. And hear what I'm about to say. They're not running as competitors. They are running as encouragers with you. When our family was running the terrain race back in December, this young man ran a good portion of that race beside me. His name is Josh. He's one of our Frisbee kids that we play with on Monday night. And as we were running, he was encouraging me. He would say, Mr. Slade, he would say, look at you. He would say, you are doing so good for your age. And he was being serious, man. You're doing so good for your age. He's saying, keep it up. And I got to tell you, that encouraged me. It motivated me to keep running. And in the Christian race, listen, we don't run alone. The Christian race is not an individual race. It is a community race where we run together to encourage, to build up, especially during those difficult and discouraging times that we face. That's one of the reasons I love our church Facebook page, because so oftentimes someone from our congregation will go on there and they will share about something that they're going through and they need prayers. And man, immediately people from the church family here respond by saying, listen, God is with you. And we just want you to know that we're praying for you. If you need anything, text me, call me. Just want you to know that we love you. It's awesome to be a part of a family, God's family. In fact, this past Sunday during our small group, we had a lady visit with us by the name of Rebecca Daniels. She is the neighbor of Jamie, and As we were studying the passage, Philippians chapter 3, she began to cry, and that brought up some deeper study, and by the end of the afternoon, she had confessed Christ and she had put on Christ in baptism. And after, yeah, you can clap for that. It's awesome. After the baptism, one of the first people that greeted her from our small group was Diana Pratt. And I loved what Diana said to her. She looked at her and she said, "Welcome to the family." And at one point, I overheard Diana say, "You've got my number, right? If you need anything, just give me a call." We have brothers and sisters who run this race with us to encourage us, to cheer us on as we run together. The Hebrew writer back in chapter 3 talks about this in verse 13. He says, "But why, church? But encourage one another, what? Daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And then he goes on to say, "We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." And so he says, listen, we've got to encourage each other. You need to know you're not in this race alone. But he also says there, listen, it's going to take determination not to quit. It's going to take some resolve on your part and some determination on your part to stay in this race to the very end. I want to share with you guys a powerful video of Gabriella Anderson. It's very powerful video. Back in the 1984 Olympics, she participated in the first women's Olympic marathon during the Summer Olympics. And let me tell you something. That year, it was extremely hot. The temperature was in the upper 80s, and that's hot for a marathon. And to top it all off, at this time, the rule stipulated that there could only be 5 water stations and you couldn't receive water from anywhere else. Well, Gabriella missed the 5th water station. And she became dehydrated and she had heat exhaustion. But she would not stop. And what you're going to see in this video is her coming in, making that final stretch. And I want you to understand, this is probably one of the most memorable Olympic moments of all time. And it's not because of any type of medal that she won, but it was because of her determination to finish. In fact, what you're going to see is medical personnel, they're coming to her because they realize she is not right. She is really struggling. And as they try to approach her to get her, she will not let them touch her, because if they touch her, she's disqualified and she's finishing this race. And so watch what happens.
Laten zien hoe Beursens is binnengekomen en een ronde extra heeft gelopen. En nu gebeurt dan dit. Het is de Zwitserse Gabriella Andersen-Scheiss die zo binnenkomt. En nu nog 400 meter moet lopen. Die stort echt in elkaar. Dat is een verschrikking toch eigenlijk. Maar ze wil finishen. Ontzettend om dit te zien. 2:45 is ze bezig. En het kan nog lang duren voordat ze binnen is. Ze zwalkt. Ik vind dit verschrikkelijk. Als er grenzen zijn in de sport, dan lijkt me dat ze hier zijn overschreden. Meter voor de finish. Publiek applaudisseert. heeft waardering voor een sportvrouw die tot haar uiterste gaat. De kramp. Vast. Eén doel. Ik zal hem halen. Ze won een marathon in december 83 in Sacramento. Afzichtelijk. En ze gaat hier nu over de finish. Gabriella.
I love all the cheering, don't you? And it's not because she was going to place for the goal. It was because this was someone who was determined to finish. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You guys can flip that back over. The Hebrew writer says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that's marked for us." In other words, we've got to determine, we've got to have some perseverance that we are going to finish this race. And I want to talk about three ways that we can do that from our text. First of all, we got to get rid of things that are slowing us down. Look back to our text. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You see, in running, lighter is better. And the same is true in the Christian race. And Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. He says, "Be careful or your hearts will be what, church? Weighed down with carousing," he's talking about sin, "drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap." There are all kinds of things that can weigh us down. One of the things that Jesus talks about and the Hebrew writer talks about is sin. Sin can weigh us down. It can weigh down our heart. It can weigh down our witness. It can weigh down our progress in Jesus. And here's the deal about sin. It has collateral damage. In other words, our sin doesn't just affect us. Our sin can also hinder other people's races. Are you with me? And some of you need to hear that. Thank you. Some of you need to hear that today. Some of you need to know that right now, there is a part of your life that is slowing you down. For some of you, it's a sin that you're aware of. You can identify it. You can name it. But you're not letting it go. You're holding on to it. And God wants to know, how long are you going to carry that around? Because it's hindering your race and the race of others. But also, not just sin, but also the unnecessary can weigh us down. Going back to the text, let us throw off everything that hinders. There are all kinds of things that may not be bad for us, but you know what? They can distract us. And they can hinder our race. I know on Monday nights when we play Ultimate Frisbee in the community, sometimes during the winter, it gets pretty cold. In fact, sometimes when we play, it's down in the low 50s, even in the low 40s. That's probably what it's going to be tomorrow night when we play. And so what we do, and a lot of other people do, is we come in layers. And as we play, of course, our body temperature starts to heat up. And for many of the people, especially my wife, she gets really, really hot and it starts hindering her out there. And so she starts taking off some of the layers that she wore. In the Christian race, there are things that aren't necessarily bad, but they're not helpful to our race. We talked about a couple of weeks ago how a mature Christian does not ask the question, is this a sin? A mature Christian asks the question, is this hurting my witness? A mature Christian asks the question, is this helping my progress in Christ to become more like Christ? Because there are a lot of things in life that aren't wrong, but they're distracting. And so beware of the distraction of the trivial. Because trivial stuff can weigh us down. And so we need to ask the question, is there something in my life that's slowing me down? Is there something else in my life that I'm giving more attention to than I should? Is there something in my life that's keeping me from really following Jesus, and we need to shed that. We need to get rid of that. But also, we've got to stay focused on Jesus. Going back to our text, look at verse 2. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. We have got to stay focused on Jesus. We need to pay very close attention, first of all, to how He ran. Because here's what we need to understand about Jesus. Jesus finished the race. And the reason He finished the race, the Hebrew writer says, was the joy set before Him. And we should keep running because that same joy is for us when we finish the race. Listen, let me ask you a question. I want you to really think about this morning. Is there anyone or anything that you could pursue that could give you more than Jesus? Think about that for a moment. Think about John chapter 6, where the race was starting to get tough. And people started leaving the race. They stopped following Jesus. And so Jesus turns to His disciples and He says, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And I realize that there were some times in Jesus' ministry when Peter just didn't get it. But on this occasion, man, Peter hit a home run. He got it. He said in John chapter 6, verse 68, he said, Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. Peter got it. No one or no thing can offer us more than Jesus. But then secondly, we need to focus on Jesus because there's no part of our race, no matter how tough it's been, that He doesn't understand. You say, well, there have been times when some of the other runners have mistreated me. Well, Jesus understands betrayal. Trust me. Well, Slate, there have been times where, man, I have really gone through some hard stuff, some really tough stuff. Let me tell you something. No one's race was tougher than Jesus. In fact, His biggest hill was the last mile of His race, where He went all the way to the cross. And so focus on Jesus. Let Him inspire you. Look at how He ran. But not only will He inspire you, He will energize you. Over in chapter 13, verse 21, the Hebrew writer says, may He equip you with all that you need for doing His will. May He produce in you through the white church, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. Jesus is going to give us the strength to finish the race if we will keep our focus on Him. Listen, if we say focus on this world and everything in this world, let me tell you something, we're going to get discouraged. If we focus on, well, others who are running the race that have let us down, we're going to become disappointed. But if we focus on Jesus, we'll finish because He'll never let us down. And then one last thing that I would mention this morning, we need to remember all those who have already finished the race and are cheering for us. They're cheering us on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I love the imagery that the Hebrew writer gives us here. He says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I love that. People up in the stands who have already finished the race, who are cheering us on. Kind of reminds me of the terrain race. There were people there, friends and family, who were holding up signs for their family as they were running the race. And that's one of the awesome parts about being in the Christian race, is as you run the Christian race, there are going to be brothers and sisters who are rooting for you. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, David. We read about all those heroes of faith back in the previous chapter, chapter 11. And as he begins chapter 12, he tells us they didn't disappear after they finished the race. They got up in the stands and now they're cheering for you. But also, these heroes of faith left us an example. Back in chapter 11, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they what, church? When they died. In other words, they didn't quit. And you know the stories. You can look back to these same people, and they didn't have the perfect life. Every single one of them went through hard times. But they kept running. None of them quit, and their examples should encourage us. How many of you have ever heard of the 4-minute mile? Anybody? Okay. At one point, no one believed that the 4-minute mile could be broken. And that goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks. And they did everything they could to break the 4-minute mile. They would even have wild animals chase the runners in hopes that they would run faster and break the 4-minute mile. Some of them even drank tiger's milk. They did all kinds of things. But finally they concluded it was impossible for a human being to run a mile under 4 minutes. And they came up with all kinds of reasons. Our bone structure's all wrong. Our lung power is inadequate. And then in 1954, a medical student in England by the name of Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. And what's really interesting, he was the first one to ever do it. But what's really interesting is within a year of doing that, over 24 other runners around the world ran under 4 minutes. Why? Because Roger Bannister showed the world that it could be done. And as we look back at the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, let me tell you something. Their race wasn't easy. It was hard. Just as it's hard for you and me. But the thing is, they showed us that it can be done. You can finish the race. You can finish the course. And what I would encourage all of us to remember is who are we showing that it's possible to finish the race. Our kids, our grandkids, and the generations to come as they look back on our life, even though some of you have been through some really, really tough stuff. But as they look back on our lives and they say, man, they finished. What an encouragement and an inspiration for them to continue to run that race. I want to close out with one last video, and may take Bill just a second to pull this up. It's about a guy by the name of George Etzweiler, and this young man is 99 years old, and he is still running the race.
I don't know why I enjoy running. I just like to get out there. And I especially like to get out into the mountains.
All right, George. Have a good one.
Ended up taking 30 minutes off the previous 85 to up record and became an instant hero. And I guess that helped to keep me going back.
George, you are inspiration to all of us.
You made a promise to us, and you keep delivering on that promise, so you're going to keep going, right?
I'll try.
Early every spring, as I'm puffing and working, I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to hang in there like this for 4 hours in June. When I get to the top and get some orange juice and a banana and some rest about halfway down, I then start feeling, well, gee, that wasn't so bad. I'll do it again next year. November 2020 is the next presidential election. I wanted to hang around and see what happens. I'm the only one left who's done every one of the 50-mile relays with this Old Men of the Mountain team. I'm hoping to hang in there and do it again this year.
He's a phenomenon. I feel too old when I get out of bed. And then I see George and I say, knock it off, Keller.
When I went to the car, I was shocked and pleased to find that Mary was there with her oxygen tank. And when I opened the door to talk to her, the first thing she said was, I'm proud of you. And I think that sticks somewhere in my subconscious and probably keeps me going.
99 years old, and he's never dropped out of a race. And I love to hear what people were saying to him as he was running up that mountain or making his way up that mountain. They say, George, you are such an inspiration to us all. What an inspiration we can be to others as we continue to run. Continue to live our lives for Christ, even though at times it gets hard. And I love his motivation for running. I don't know if you caught it at the end. One of the things that keeps him going was his wife saying to him, I'm so proud of you. But for you and I as Christians, it's that day when we stand before the Lord and God Almighty says, I'm so proud of you. Well done, you good and faithful servant. And so today we want to go ahead and extend an invitation. Maybe it's for prayers to continue running. I know some of you are running through some tough stuff right now. But maybe right now you need prayers to keep running. Or maybe for some of you, maybe you haven't been in the race for a long time. You've allowed something to sidetrack you. Or maybe something has distracted your focus from Christ and becoming everything that He wants you to be. Or maybe today for some of you, like Rebecca Daniels, maybe you need to make the decision today to get in the race, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and to put on Christ in baptism, having all your sins completely washed away, Acts 2 verse 38. Whatever the case may be, whatever the need may be, won't you come as together we stand, as we sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised, promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Oh, being a part of our shut-in worship, I know some of you signed up on Facebook, on our church page, to be placed in a group to go and visit some of our different shut-ins today at 1:30. I have out on the